Here we are. That's who we are. Welcome to our show today, everyone. Beautiful day in February. Not as cold as it could be. It's a little warmer than February's were a long time ago. And that's really nothing to complain about, is it? So welcome. Hope that you're enjoying the day. It is brisk, but the sun is shining. The air seems clean and pure, and things seem a little quieter today than they usually are. Seems that every time we look around, there is some type of disaster going on, whether it is from crazy people shooting up places or crazy senators spending tons and tons of money to bring charges against people who have done nothing that is worthy of such deeds, or the opposite, spending tons of money trying to defend people who are criminals with 70, 80, 90 criminal counts against them. People who are walking around free while someone in a poor neighborhood accused of stealing a bag or a slice of pizza will find themselves sitting in jail with no charges, waiting to go to court. Things have really turned upside down here. And I think that the main thing that we learn by being in a world where things turn upside down is to center ourselves, to know the strength and power that we have as individuals, and to be able to draw on that power in order to live lives of joy and peace in the midst of the craziness, in the midst of the fire. You see, because the only thing that is burned away by the fire are our illusions, the thoughts and ideas that we cling to that don't work anymore and probably never worked. The ideas that we held on to while we fought off the ideas that told us that the ones we were holding on to were false, because it was more convenient to hold on to the lies. Or it was more convenient because it gave us a foundation from which to work. Made us more safe and secure and unwilling to do what all of us were born to do. We were born to take wing and fly. And so all of this negativity, all of this pain, all of this suffering is like the mother bird pushing his children out of the nest. And we need to either flap our wings and fly, or fall to the ground as we cling to the idea that we are baby birds, unable to soar into the heavens. And so we, listening to this radio broadcast and making this broadcast, even have to decide, do we want to spread our wings and fly, or just go tumbling down? Perhaps many of us are trying to cling to the nest, trying not to be pushed out, trying to kill the mother bird, seeing the mother bird as something that is horrible, terrorist. Something that should be stomped down at all costs, instead of something that is moving us to a higher, more beautiful place, and to a life that is complete and whole. Are you ready to spread your wings and fly? The first step is not being pushed out of that nest. It is daring to step out and fly. It is said that sometimes in eagle nests, the small eagle can be seen jumping and flapping its wings and jumping and flapping its wings. The reason for this is that by this jumping and flapping its wings, it is actually building up the strength of its wings, preparing itself to take flight. I think the first step for all of us is to prepare to take flight, to jump up, to spread our wings, to flap our wings, to strengthen ourselves by developing mind, body, and spirit, so we are strong, resilient, and most of all, pure, so that we return to our true selves, our true self, which is the essence of love and peace and beauty, carried in a wonderful vessel on this, our Mother Earth. How do we begin to develop ourselves? One way is through the use of the mind. This involves listening to radio shows like this, looking at different videos, reading different books, but not all of those that commit to what we're saying, not all of those that confirm the ideas that we already have about the world, but listening to things that don't confirm them sometimes. Listening to far out things, crazy explanations about the universe and how it works. And as we begin to listen to these crazy things, or these things that are opposite of ours, something begins to happen. The mind begins to expand. The imagination begins to expand so that we can move beyond the box of our ordinary thinking. And we can move to a place of joy and wonder. We can move to a place where we're opening a door to receive the knowledge and the wisdom that comes through intuition, coming from the various consciousness, divinity of the universe. And thus we prepare the mind in that way. Physical body by doing some type of exercise. It doesn't have to be hard, it doesn't have to be vigorous, even though it can be. Just walking, doing Tai Chi, Qigong, some type of exercise daily to keep us healthy and happy, keep the blood flowing, to stress the muscles, to warm us up so that our body would do the work that it was designed to do. It is said that the human body was designed to walk. That is why people can walk for miles and miles and miles in their natural state. Of course, most of us are not in our natural state anymore. We need to be at places fast. We need to jump on cars, on buses, and on trains, but it wasn't always like that. We had the time to get from point A to B, so many people just walked. And so if we can find some time during the day to just walk, we can strengthen the body. The natural rhythm of our feet hitting the ground along with our heartbeat and our breathing sort of creates a rhythm that allows us to slow down, allows us to relax, and allows us to think. And thus, this contributes to the wealth of the health of the body. Excuse me, so we talked mind and body. And by working with these two things together, what usually happens is we reach the realm of the spirit. We transcend the natural human condition and we enter in to the real. We begin to understand who and what we really are. Our imagination breaks us out of the box, while our intellect discerns what is correct, what is not, what is imagination, what is reality. And this dance helps us to expand ourselves until we become full of the universal knowledge. And we have the ability to pour ourselves out into the universe. Like a cup of water being poured back into the ocean, except unlike that cup of water, as creative beings you see, we can regather all that we poured out back into the cup to be used again. We can unwind the ego anytime we want to, and in any place we want to, and we can reconstruct it at our will as we want to, when we become awake or enlightened. And that is what enlightenment is all about, and that is what becoming a transcendent human being is all about. Having a complete understanding of who we are and the control that is necessary to shape-shift the ego as is needed so it can work and respond perfectly in any situation. Many of us have forgotten how to do that. We put ourselves in a little box. We've adopted this little personality. We put on a little mask to help us live in our families, in our neighborhoods and communities, but somewhere along the line we lost sight of the fact that we were not the mask. We were the makers of the mask. And then we began to worship the mask as who we thought we were. We began to serve the mask as an idol instead of realizing that the mask was there to serve us. We turned everything upside down. Is there any wonder that we could do this in a society that is the same? In our society, we think that greatness means that one is being served by others and taking everything from others, when in reality, greatness is serving others and supplying the need for others. Thus comes the idea of a God who is a creator, a God who is love, a God who is great, because the God serves the universe, not because it is served by the universe. I know this thinking is totally opposite of everything that many of the Western religions say, but in that sense, all of them are wrong. They aren't necessarily totally wrong, but their emphasis is wrong. It's humanocentric and anthropomorphic, where we project our ideas onto this being that we call God, not really ever knowing what it is like or what we as individuals are really like. I've written a book a long time ago called The Chronicles of Kara, Book 1, Kara, King and Queen. I wrote this all the way back in 1986. I'm going to read a little bit of it for you here before closing out this radio program. I hope you enjoy it. It focuses on what I've been talking about here. The note from the author says, I began this trilogy sitting in my small apartment in San Diego, California in 1986 all alone. It was typed using a new fancy electric typewriter on the back of writing paper and then on a fancy word processor. I thank the powers that be and my life experience between 1986 and 2006 for the completion of this action-packed novel, finally, for your enjoyment. In this story, men travel to another world, to another planet. In this case, they have gotten shipwrecked on the planet Aqua, a rainy planet. I'll pick up at that place where the main character, Rob, is thinking to himself and speaking to himself. The wind threatened to push us over If we had not turned on the shields, it would have chilled us to the bone, and the rain would have been like a Chinese water torture on steroids. I wondered what else could happen. We were all silent. It would have been too difficult to talk over the sound of the wind and the rain. It was a strange sensation walking through the bitter cold rain without feeling it hitting your body. The overcast sky made me feel sad and melancholy as we trekked through the pre-worn paths, right through deep puddles, hoping they wouldn't give way into pools that were over our heads. I found myself being drawn deeper within. I began to think of my past. Only unpleasant memories were evoked by the rain. All of the times when I used to play sports or do just about anything, I had to push myself to be best. I had a drive to succeed. Whenever I made a fool out of myself playing any sport, I would go home and practice and practice. My practices were more grueling than any coach's could be. There was always a push for perfection. Instead of saying this and correcting me, my parents applauded my desire to be the best. They didn't know that it was a psychosis more than anything else. Why couldn't they see that I was destroying myself? I was setting up a pattern that would stay with me for most of my life, a pattern of dissatisfaction. Here I was now, just getting to a place where I loved myself and accepted myself as I was. But what did it take? It took a year and a half of constant meditation and working out. One of the gifts that I got from working on the ship was a strict workout and the meditations that I did daily. For the first time in my life, I had been forced to be still enough to see myself, a more pure, beautiful self than I had ever seen before. To fly the ship, I had to let go of my desire to be perfect and perform better than anyone else. I began to wonder if that desire was still planted somewhere deep in my mind. Was I combining with the ship because I was doing it again, overachieving? I thought that was possible. When I meditated, though, and let go, I was in right relationship with the ship, not giving up my individual psyche and joining too much with it. That showed me how important it was to continue to meditate and to work on myself. I needed to do the work that was necessary to free me from the need to be an overachiever. I looked at the rain and the thick leaves swishing in the wind above me. It was cold. I knew it just by the way it looked. John walked just ahead of me. George led the way. He had a lot of experience in the jungles of Vietnam during the monsoon seasons. This was a different type of forest, but how different could it be? He lifted his hand, giving us a halt signal. We stopped and gathered together. Our shields are getting very low. They aren't recharging. If we run into trouble, we might not even be able to fire a blast. We're going to have to turn them off, he said. I screwed up my face and sighed. That's where I'll stop this reading. If you want to get a copy of this book, remember, it's the Chronicles of Kara, Book 1. Kara, King and Queen by Om Prakash Gilmore. It's available at Amazon.com. It is a sci-fi book with a lot of spirituality and a lot of teachings about us, who we are, and our identity. This book follows these people as they discover who and what they are and how they need to live as full and complete human beings. This is what I'm talking about on this radio show. These are the type of things I'm talking about on my webpage and on my YouTube channel. Yes, friends. We are here on this radio show to speak the truth and love and to empower each and every person. And we hope you will continue to listen, to pass on what you're hearing here and now, to follow us, even, and if you would like to make a small donation to us through the station or either at our website. We are on a mission to keep the world safe for every individual, for every plant, for every animal, and to keep putting forth the truth so that those who have louder voices and incorrect analogies and understandings won't keep us going in circles, won't keep us living in the delusion that our society has brought us into and keeps us chained into through deception and delusion. Thank you for being with us. Visit us at www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com. That is www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com. And we have other podcasts here for your enjoyment too. Have a great evening. And remember, as we say and mean, you are as beautiful as your thoughts. So think well and continue to be beautiful.